the first reading will be from Acts 7, 55 through 60. Stephen was one of the seven men chosen by the apostles to serve tables so that the apostles could be free to serve the world. Acts 6, 1 through 6. Stephen does more than distribute food, however. For his preaching of God's word, he becomes the first martyr of the faith. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed towards him, against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 31, 1 through 5 and 15 through 16 will be read responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me, for you are my tower of strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel this morning is from John chapter 14, starting in the first verse. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, that we may be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In this, the Gospel of John, we hear today the farewell address that Jesus gives. But it's an odd placement for this post-Easter reality that we are in today. Jesus gives this farewell speech in anticipation of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Before any of this has happened, Jesus is already starting to say goodbye. While we have heard the rest of the story, the disciples are hearing Jesus' instructions from a different perspective. Not having lived through this before, they ask questions, some of which they speak out loud. And I imagine there are so many others that are within their hearts. This passage from John is familiar to our ears, not just because it is read after Easter, but because it is so often read at funerals. Funerals, a time when we need a sense of God's comfort. In times of grief, we often ask questions. And today, the disciples' questions, when we hear those questions, we hear echoes of our own when it comes to matters of life and death. Where are you going, Lord? The disciples ask. Can we come too? How will we know the way? They inquire. It's common to ask these questions at the precipice of life and death. Individuals and families ask these questions all the time when faced with nodal events, which are any kind of life-changing or life-altering event that actually changes the way that we see and experience the world. Examples of nodal events can be a birth or a death, an adoption, marriage, a divorce, having an empty nest, having the empty nest filled back up again, retirement, a midlife crisis, or a significant illness. You know what I'm talking about. You've experienced some of these in your own life. Well, events like this bring about a time of questioning, a time of wondering. It's common to be, when faced with change, especially monumental change, that we would want the facts, just the facts. A map would help. GPS would even be better, as you heard these kids say, because it's often difficult to weather all this uncertainty. And getting lost is not fun. Change, it's difficult to lean into. And it certainly is hard work walking into the abyss alone. So in addition to some information, it's helpful to have a guide. The disciples have had that guide in Jesus for all this time. Jesus has led them and taught them and comforted them, and they have followed. They have followed on the heels of his teaching, walking beside him, witnessing miracles. But now they are not ready to let him go. They would never be ready, actually. So Jesus starts preparing the disciples with this farewell speech. Anytime a family is faced with the birth or adoption or death of a loved one, we follow in the same path of the disciples. We want the facts. What is the way forward? What are our options? How will this unfold and change our lives forever? The circle of life brings new questions, new things to consider, new fears, perhaps familiar anxieties, and new growth. In these pivotal times of life, we often seek the help of a wise one, a guide, who will guide us through the process, perhaps an elder, a mentor, an expert, one who can guide the way, especially when the way forward seems so unclear. In the passage toward life and death, it's interesting how similar the roles can be between a maternity midwife and a hospice chaplain. The maternity midwife helps the expectant mother to give birth. Breathe, she repeats. Just breathe. A hospice chaplain's role is to be fully present with the one who is dying and their family. Breathe, he reminds them. Just be. Pray. Many of you have served in these roles, whether accompanying one who is bringing life into this world or as one who holds the hand and walks with the one who is walking slowly toward death. In the process of dying, the family is changed. As our loved one dies, there is often new birth that springs forth, a release of expectation, a newfound trust in God. But sometimes there are difficult emotions that are birthed, feelings of regret and bargaining for more time together or healing, or even a persistent plea that God would have mercy on the one who suffers. In the process of dying, we are reminded to breathe. Breathe. when bringing a child into this world through birth or adoption, or even when we are aunts and uncles and godparents and serve in other ways to bring up children in this world, there can be a flood of questions. How can this little one know the way? How can I be a guiding force in this fragile, tender child of God and their life to come? The family and friends are forever changed by the ushering in of this death and this new life. And it is a death of what was and an open invitation to what is. Who are we wonder, now that the expectations have been forever changed, now that nothing will be the same again? The bookends of this circle of life bring an opportunity for abundant life, just as it brings the disciples there. This abundant life always comes to us in the most vulnerable way, pushing on the edges of our discomfort, pushing on our edges of what we know to be true and what we hope for the future. As God brings us abundant life, as it beckons to us, we are tempted again to hang on to those certainties. Are we not? Show us the way, we plead with Jesus. I am the way, Jesus reminds. The disciples wonder, who are we now that Jesus is going away? We'll get lost, prompts Thomas. Show us the way, Philip demands. And like a good midwife, Jesus reminds them, breathe. Be still, for I already have shown you the way. You know the way to eternal life, Jesus reminds them, because I am the way, he says. Like a hospice chaplain, Jesus prepares the disciples for the death that is to come. Jesus says, just follow me. I'm going ahead of you, he reminds us. I am preparing a place for you. So don't be afraid. Just breathe. Breathe. My daughter Haley will be starting her internship this summer working at a group home for residents who have challenges of their own, physical, emotional, behavioral. But all of them are nonverbal. Yes, they communicate, but not through words. So hearing Haley talk about this, about her excitement of learning how to communicate with them, it brings me back to my chaplaincy training. When I first encountered someone who is dying, who is unable to speak, I thought to myself, I'll just talk. I'm good at that. I talk all the time. You all know that. I'll just fill the awkward silence, and the patient will just listen. I'll just read the Bible to them. I'll sing a song. I'll pray. I'll fill up all that silence so nothing awkward needs to happen here. But then I learned that the most important thing to be when someone is dying is to be present, to get comfortable with silence, to release my own need to fill the quiet and feel comfortable, and to be a witness to the way that the Lord bridges the gap between death and life, life and death. To be a loving witness to the birth pangs and the throes of death. To give witness to the way the Creator blesses and comforts even in the midst of death. Our Lord does not take away our tears, but instead wipes away each tear as it falls. Tears of death and tears of joy and new life springing forth to life abundant. Our God does not remove the growing pains of this life, but instead comforts us in the realities, rejoices with us in the passage between these bookends of life and death. As the ultimate midwife, Jesus reminds us that in the dying there will be rising, in the struggle there is freedom. In all times, in all places, there is Christ reminding us, breathe, breathe, just breathe.